Hello and welcome to Scoppy Radio. My name is Daniel Johansson.
And I'm Maureen Smith. And we are joined by Jonathan Starzik and Elena Sions of 18th and Wood.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
How's your day been?
Pretty good.
Easy.
Yeah. A little bit of traffic,
but yeah, you guys had to deal with Lower Wacker on your way up to Andersonville.
Mm-hmm. Lower Wacker woe is always.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. No, I always I used to work in Pilsen, and I learned really quickly that my GPS would always tell me that Lower Wacker was going to be faster, but I knew it was lies because Lower Wacker doesn't get any reception.
Reception, yeah. Totally. Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So you go in there, and in reality, it's the worst traffic of your life.
Yes.
But no, it's terrible. And so whenever, like, occasionally Daniel would come and pick me up from work, and I would be like, where are you? And he'd be like, Lower
stuck
Wacker.
In Lower Wacker.
Yeah. Yep. No, and I love being in Pilsen, but living on the... So I lived in Chicago for 4 years now. And being on the north side is just always so difficult getting to Pilsen.
Yeah.
Well, because Chicago is just built for you to get to downtown.
Right.
Exactly.
And that's the only thing. And I feel like they're trying to make it more commutable. Is that the word?
Yeah. That sounds right.
Yeah, and so I feel like they're trying to connect it a lot more, especially with, I feel like, with, like, people just starting to bike around now, right? I feel like
right.
That's making things, like, way more different, even, like, Uber and Lyft.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Delete Uber.
Mm-hmm. Delete Uber. Fuck Uber, for real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I deleted Uber, and it was great.
I don't know her.
Yeah. No, and it's hard going, it's east and west is always a pain in the ass. It's just really difficult
to
navigate
that. The east-west slog.
Yeah.
No, I work in Wicker Park right now, which is still not close, but way better than the Pilsen commute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I don't have to deal with, like, lakeshore traffic.
Mm-hmm.
The reason we're bringing up Pilsen is that 18th and Wood is a clothing line. You guys are designers based out of Pilsen, and so you guys spend a considerable time around there. Can you tell us a little bit about 18th and Wood?
Yeah, sure. Me and Elena have just been wanting to create, I think, for a really long time. And we were trying to really figuring out what that was going to be for a really long time. We've been talking about this since last year.
Even before.
Really trying to figure out how... In my mind, execution is everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like we just wanted to make sure everything was as perfect as it could be before we moved on.
Mm-hmm.
Even just like settling on a name, I think took us a really long time. And the great thing about, so 18th and Wood is where we work. It's where Elena lives. It's where my parents got their first apartment when they moved here from Poland. It's where
Harrison Park is, which is a big community center in Pilsen.
And the whole area is traditionally always called like the heart of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
For a while, we were really going back and forth about names, and I feel like the whole time it was right in front of us, and we both mm-hmm. kind of came up with it in our
separately,
own way.
And then came back together.
And just hashed it out, stamped the seal of approval, and here we are.
Cool. Yeah, it's really funny, too, because so I was just in a production of Bohème in Pilsen. That was on 18th and Wood. Have you guys ever been to Nightcap Coffee Bar?
Yeah. Actually, funny story. Back in the day, my dad used to own a laundromat that was where
Nightcap
is now.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a fun space. That's so cool. Yeah, no, so we did a whole 3-night run of Bohème in that space.
Okay.
And there's kind of like the back rooms.
Yep.
And then there's the kitchen space. And so there is kind of a little bit of like a half dressing room in there. Mm-hmm. And then getting around to the alley to come in and do a front entrance is really cool. But anyway, it was funny because Maureen came and saw the show on Sunday and she was like, yeah, we're having the 18th and Wood interview like this week. And I was like, oh, that's great. And then I was like, that's funny. We're on 18th and Wood right now. And she's like, wait, what do you mean? Because I don't know what it was. But you're
I was like, oh, like, is there a store here? And she's like, no.
We're standing on it, yeah.
It's funny, too, because I feel like we both personally keep coming back to that space in many different facets and different times in our lives, too. So it just kind of is really funny how this kind of really worked out.
Mm-hmm.
So were you guys both raised in Pilsen?
Well, we've both been raised in the area. So I was, like I told you, my dad had his laundromat there and my mom lived nearby, I would say, between Little Village and Pilsen.
Mm-hmm.
So I was definitely raised in the area. And like Jonathan said, I always would come back. Like, after we graduated college, I knew I wanted to come back to Chicago, but I lived in Hyde Park for a year, and that was great. But I eventually found myself back in Pilsen.
Nice. I mean, I think that there's, with so much going on there, it's kind of like there's like a draw to Pilsen right now. There's so much art being made. Mm-hmm. It was cool. We were walking around, or not walking around. Daniel was in nightcap and talking to some people, and the owner of an art gallery came up and was like, "Here's my card," and it like it seemed very natural.
It's a very captivating space that I feel pulls you in, and I don't know why more people aren't drawn to it.
There's a lot of rich history there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's art everywhere. It's like integral to Pilsen.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, Benito Juarez is right around the corner too, which is a lot of arts organizations, especially, reach out to that community. It seems they're really open to people kind of like reaching out to that school, which is
cool. I feel like, as long as it's done in a respectful place.
Of course. Or
in a mindset. Cause I feel like a lot of people, I mean, you see when, it's totally different. I mean, from even like a year, 2 years, 3 years. I mean, it's very changed, and you can feel that there. And we actually have a collaboration with Benito Juarez as well.
Yeah.
So for us, I mean, like, I think art is everything.
Yeah.
And in clothes, I feel like just it's art that you live your life in, right? Mm-hmm. And so we also know that we wanted to do creative things with our lives and our careers, and just being able to bring
it. Sorry, yeah, another cat.
Just being able to.
The best move is always to recognize it. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're fine. I think for us, it's just that we also realize that when you're being brought up and you're growing up, you think that your art can't be a sustainable path for you.
Like, and that's something. Just a hobby.
Yeah. And I feel like you get that from a lot of people, from parents, from relatives, teachers. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure that that's not the case. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we do a lot of really great collaborations. We launched on November 1st is when the website went live, and we had a pop-up 2 weeks later at Colibri, on 18th as well.
It's an art gallery.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew that we wanted to, you know, incorporate Pilsen into it. So we first reached out to Yvette Mayorga, who created our first design, our first collaboration. And then we partnered with Benito Juarez, and really wanted to, and so this is us like giving back, right? And like working with students and youth, and like trying to cultivate that kind of, you know, feeling of my art can be who I am. So we had a few prompts of, you know, one was, you know, what does Pilsen mean to you? One was like, take our logo and do what you will with it. And one was just a free for all. And so we selected a winner. We had a few entries and we selected a winner. And that is now being featured on our site, and all the proceeds from that item go directly to the school's art department too.
Yeah. Cool.
So we just want to make sure that we keep helping people create.
Yeah, and even furthermore, all of the entries we received were really great. We liked all of them, and we had a hard time choosing, so we're even going to exhibit their art pieces at our next pop-up, and sell them if they want us to sell them for them, so they can get the money off of their own artwork, and kind of just further along what Jonathan was saying, just show them that they can actually make money off of their art and have a sustainable life.
That's such an important thing to impart on young people. We're both musicians, and we both went to, we're both opera singers. And, part of what we're taught in, like, even in a collegiate setting, is that there is like one set path to make art, and it's torturous, pretty much. You audition for programs that cost thousands of dollars. You have to live in expensive, like, by design, expensive areas in order to even sustain yourself. And it's punishing, and it's really hard. And I think that the idea that, you know, having a life in art can be rewarding and can be multifaceted, mm-hmm. and is such an important thing to communicate early on. Because I think that if we had known that, you know, it was super viable to kind of like follow your instincts. Mm-hmm. Like, we would have been happier earlier.
Yeah. And I think a big part of it too, like, is what social media does for us now, right? And it's being like, I feel like you hear the word entrepreneur, and I feel like it just has like all these feelings and connotations. Like, I don't even personally very much like it, but it's, that's what an artist is. You are a brand, you are a business, and you're pushing your work into the world, and you need it to sell to keep going on and keep doing that. And I feel like as long as you start to think of it that way, and it's funny too, because like art and capitalism, I feel like clash all the time, right? Because yeah. Like, I feel like their basic sentiments, you know, contradict one another all mm-hmm. the time. But I mean, even when you're an artist creating whatever it is, you know, you're still trying to profit in some regard. Even yeah. the word profit sounds weird too, right? But it's just about, you know, self-sustainability.
Yeah.
And also self-worth. Because I think that there is also this idea of like, you know, or rather not an idea, but the expectation that artists work for free. Mm. And it's really easy to fall in that trap, you know, the, you know, exposure trap. Right. And it's a matter really simply of like, you have to realize that your work and your effort and your time is worth something. So it's hard to put a price on something that you spend a lot of time and effort and heart creating. But at the end of the day, like, for your sake, you have to.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm really interested in something that we keep coming back to in different interviews are like just the general idea of a word being like a buzzword or like a keyword. And it like, it means something, and there's definite weight to the meaning. And I'm thinking right now, what made me think of this specifically was like the word entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. But it also makes me think about another, like there are a couple of those kind of keywords are like accessibility and like relevance. And I think it's kind of what you guys are talking about as far as like your partnership with Benito Juarez is really interesting in that aspect. Because I think a lot of organizations, a lot of arts groups are like, we're so accessible and we're so relevant. But I mean, how that really looks like for an arts organization that's like based out of Pilsen, when you like comparing someone being like, oh, we're going to put up a performance in Pilsen and just be in the neighborhood versus like actually going to the community and being like, what do you need? Like, what is it that, how does our work help you in some way?
Because I think for a lot of the time, people are just thinking about what they want versus what someone needs.
Right.
And it's like, and it's selfish, you know, mm-hmm. that's what happens when people come in. And I mean, even there's this huge development that's happening right now or is trying to happen in Pilsen between 16th and 18th, right by Halsted. And that's bordered by what will be the Paseo Trail. And there's this huge development that they were trying to implement. But with Pilsen, they have some really strict guidelines when it comes to new developments, that 20% of housing has to be below market rate affordable yeah. housing. And this New York company and organization was trying to go around their alderman, who happens to be on the zoning board, so he switched the zoning. Like, mm-hmm. You can't just come in and self-serve and just take, right? Yeah. I mean, right. It is the American way.
But. Yeah. Well, and I think it's interesting and fun when you can find kind of cross-sections of where it maybe can actually work, and it really has to come from the opposite direction of like going to the people that you're going with and being like, what can we do? And I think that's really powerful that you guys are doing that.
And I think that a lot of arts organizations are seeing in Pilsen is like cheap real estate. Mm-hmm. And yeah. like, you know, oh, this is a community or not a community. This is an area of town where, you know, we'll get good press for being here. We'll, you know, likely we'll be able to use a cheap or free space. Mm-hmm. It'll be an interesting space. And I think that they're only doing half of their job as artists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're thinking only of the bottom line and not about how their art impacts the community. And that's what I think is so cool about what you guys are doing, because I think that your brand really reflects the culture. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
That's our goal.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, just looking at your website, I mean, all of your models on your website are people of color, which reflects the diversity in Pilsen. You're literally named after a street that you both have a connection to. And it's, and also it looks like most of the pictures are taken in Pilsen.
Yep. Yeah. Definitely.
Like yeah. 95% of them.
Yeah.
99% probably.
Point nine. Yeah.
Nine. And has, what I'm wondering, just like looking around your website and seeing, you know, how most of the images are in Pilsen, did Pilsen and the culture at all inform your aesthetic? Because you guys have a really strong, your clothes, you know, definitely have a point of view, and I'm wondering where that comes from.
It definitely,
I think a little bit of that informed. Too, but I mean, I definitely feel like the brand is very much an extension of Elena and I. First and foremost, I mean, three words I would definitely use to describe it are just like 90s modern minimalism. Yeah. And I feel like the art wouldn't be able to, or like Pilsen wouldn't be showcased if like the site wasn't clean and simple and clear, right? I feel even when you're on the homepage, right, all the slides guide you very clearly. And we don't want you to have to spend a bunch of time on there. I mean, if you want to, go ahead. But like, we want to guide you to where you're looking to go. And I feel like that's not very much a thought when it comes to like user experience design. I feel like a lot of brands always think, you know, say they think about the user, but they never really do because they're worrying about their profit margin or their, you know, any of that lingo, right? I mean, it definitely is a lot of Pilsen too, right? Because that's what we're showcasing. But it definitely is a large part of who we are as well.
Cool. Yeah, I think that's really interesting too, because I also think that talking about the bit I've seen of your clothing, you're not afraid to take a stance or like have a message or
Never.
You know, communicate a thing. And I think that's really powerful. And it's something that you don't see in art all the time. And I also think it kind of really ties into what we've been talking about, kind of talking about, like, if you're not going to play into the like direct capitalism mindset, like you're able to accomplish so much more.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I guess my question in all of that, and I don't know why I brought up the second part of it, but I did, is what is it about this time where we're at now as a society that when you were like, okay, we're going to start making, so we're going to start this line, like, that made you want to go this kind of outspoken, like, speaking for what you believe in?
Yeah. I just feel like it's us, you know?
It's totally us. We're not going to be bound by, you know,
anything, yeah. You know, and I feel like the captions that we put are captions we would put on our own page, you know, if you don't like it.
Yeah, I think we made a decision early on that
to not give a fuck.
Yeah.
To
not give a fuck.
Because I feel like, I mean, people are not stupid. You know, I feel like a lot of brands always talk about the user also, I mean, as if they're stupid, like they don't know what they need, you know, until we put it in front of them, right? And people are so savvy to that, you know, like they're like, everyone is on social media, you know, everyone has an app on their phone that connects them with someone else. And you know what a natural conversation is like. And for us, we want it to be as natural and authentic. Like authenticity is 100% what we're about. Yeah. You know, we never want to come off as a lie or an illusion or an enigma. Like it is real. It's how we communicate to each other. It's how we communicate to our friends. It's how we communicate to people who come to our pop-ups and that we meet. It's just,
we also can't name ourselves 18th and Wood and then restrict ourselves when the community or Pilsen's known for being, you know, very active and
outspoken.
Yeah.
You know, that would just be hypocritical on our part.
And even, I love that you use the word authenticity, because it's like genuine authenticity versus authenticity as like a buzzword.
Yeah.
You know, because like so many people are like, oh, this is authentic. I'm also really interested in the concept of looking at art and audience as that like very, I'm trying to think of the way to put it, like that Silicon Valley kind of like the user experience, which is a very important perspective and lens to look at things. But I thought it was really interesting the way that you brought it up, because the way that you talked about it, I'm used to hearing people talking about the user and in the way that you were kind of demeaning, which is just this kind of like, well, they'll figure it, like we'll lead them where they need to go, like they're just sheep. But it's like, no, like it's so weird to me that like venture capitalism, especially, and obviously I'm like from the East Coast, like I don't know a ton about like that, the intricacies of that world, but from what it sounds like, it's such a driven by like, oh, the user's experience, but then it's also so downtrodden of that perspective. But it's like, right. that is almost like a logical gap, because that's like, if you're trying to better the experience of the user, but not listening to what the user is actually cares about or actually wants.
Which is what I feel mostly happens, you know?
And, yeah.
And I think when you're talking about like the Silicon Valley term, it's like, because you don't, how do I phrase this? Because it's just like, it's art, but in a digital space, right? Yeah. So we're still curating, you know, right. Like the vintage, everything is a really careful curation of what we want to convey. And then even just thinking about the user, like we're 60% of our audience finds us on social, you know, they're talking to us, we're right. talking to them. And, you know, as long as that conversation is continually happening, we'll be here.
Yeah.
Yep.
But that's the beauty of it, right? Is that you're actually talking to them. It's not just
we're not about, talking like, at them.
Exactly.
Right. Is the difference.
Yeah. Yep. Cool. Well, I'm also very interested in, because I think there are a lot of our listeners may not be familiar with, I mean, some of them definitely will, but are not familiar with like the idea of like pop-up shops and things like that. So I want to talk about it a little generally, and I also like would be interested in hearing about like how it's really helped you guys like setting up these pop-up shops.
Yeah.
We love the pop-ups.
Yeah, and especially since we're online only, they mm-hmm. really help us have a presence, an outside presence, a physical presence where people can see the clothes, feel the clothes,
engage
see
us, with us.
Yeah, yeah. And ask us questions.
Because I feel like we also definitely have a vibe, you know, and you get that from the Instagram, and that comes up at our pop-ups. So we had our first pop-up on the 12th, again, like at Equilibri, like we mentioned. We had a friend of ours doing manicures, like full-on gel sets for free.
Cool.
We had an open bar. The artist that we collaborated with, art. I got a projector so she could project her work and, like, actually go into Illustrator and, like, create on
That's
the
really
wall.
Cool.
We had a photo booth.
Yeah, people it's just about like an pictures. Experience, yeah. You know, and I feel like that's what we try to get across from like any video or any photos that we push out, and the pop-up is for you to get that experience. Enjoy the brand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're currently going through a rebranding. Like we're going to start working with a graphic designer and figure out our brand, and so I've been thinking a lot about identity and like the different meanings of identity, and I think that comes across in many ways, specifically on your website. First of all, you guys are really good at branding. Like your brand, your logo is all over your clothes, which is, I mean, you guys have a great logo, so like,
and thanks to Will Goff for that too. I think part of it was just finding a great designer to work with and mm-hmm. understands identity. Mm-hmm. Will Goff went to high school with me. He actually did Chance's Social Works logo. He has a very fun aesthetic, and that comes across in everything that he does.
Mm-hmm.
And we were so happy that he was able to convey that in our logo. And the logo is based, it's actually stairs, right? It's like the 18th station. When you're there, like there's artwork everywhere on the walls, on the stairs, on the ledge. Yep. So if you see it, it's basically an optical illusion.
Oh, it is
of stairs.
I'm looking. I'm on your website right now.
And that's what brings you there, right? Like, is the train? Like, it's the 18th that would stop. Yeah,
that's really cool. Yeah. And the other part of identity that I wanted to talk about that's really prevalent on your website is gender identity. Which I think you
what
guys...
What is gender?
It's a construct.
I don't see gender.
I'm like a Cocker Spaniel.
Yeah.
So I think what's cool is that what you all have done is you don't really regard gender as a boundary in terms of your clothing. If you hit... Like, I'm looking at my phone, looking at your website right now. I hit women's, and my cousin Brendan is one of the models.
Beautiful model, Brendan.
Beautiful. He is a... we've got good genes.
Shows.
And then the same with men's. You know, you go to the men's section and there are your female models. And I'm wondering, has that always been a part of your I mean, first of all, was that intentional? Second of all, was that, like, are you going to do more with kind of the fluidity and ambiguity of your styles? I guess I'm just wondering, like, where your head is at in terms of that bold gendered move.
So I think it was at first subconscious. We didn't make an explicit decision to have
a stance on gender
yeah. at all.
And fashion.
Yeah. Yeah. It was more so like, this is the stuff that we wear. We like stuff that would be considered unisex or, yeah. you know,
And most of the stuff we put out is as unisex as yes. possible. Because yeah. yep. if something looks cool, you'll wear it.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Exactly. And we have a lot of street style that's part of our aesthetic. And from my opinion, street style, there's not really much gender to that.
No.
So
it just kind of happened, yeah. But also, I mean, we don't mind it at all.
Yeah.
You know, like,
it adds.
I think someone commented a while ago when they saw Brendan in this crop hoodie that we have that I love,
yeah.
but was just like, what the fuck? And
obviously we deleted that comment. Like,
yeah, yeah.
yeah.
And fuck you, user 77689.
right.
But because it doesn't matter, you know? Yeah. I feel like fashion is so, what's the word? I don't know. I can't think of the word. It doesn't matter.
fleeting.
Nebulous?
Not even fleeting. It's
ambiguous?
Transcendent? I don't know. Yeah. It doesn't. I feel like gender shouldn't have to apply. I mean, like, if you think yeah. of, like, the history of high heels, it was men that, like, wanted exactly. to feel superior to
even
everyone
the
around
color
them.
Pink.
Yeah, surprise, yeah. surprise. And it's just, it shouldn't matter, and to us, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we hope it doesn't matter to the people who see it either.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it's a little confusing at first. You're wondering if you're in the right space. Is that an accident?
Right.
And it's not. It has become 100% intentional for us, and...
Yeah.
Because, again, it doesn't matter, you
and
know?
Then you will notice, once you click on the item, that we have usually a picture of a male and a female in that item, mm-hmm. so that it's not so confusing.
Yeah. And it's not even, it's like the opposite of confusing. It's, in fact, like, as explanatory as possible. You're just covering all, like, not covering all of your bases. That sounds like not the right way, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
it's just, that's just what you would do, because you want everybody to...
And you want your style to be as versatile as
right.
possible.
And again, like, and you'll see the navigation. There is a men's section and a women's section for a traditional sense, if that's where you're just going to go gravitate towards mm-hmm. normally, right? Because I feel like we're still, that's very much a mm-hmm. part of, when it goes into a department store, there's a men's section, a women's section,
yep.
that's clear. So that's really just to help guide you, but that really doesn't mean anything to us. It's just a collection.
Right. Cool.
So we've been talking a lot about color before we started talking. So our cat Moody, who Daniel actually just posted a picture of her on our Facebook because we got fancy new phones and they have good cameras.
Yeah,
gotta love tech.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and it feels really good. I'm justifying it because we do like all this video work now and stuff like that. So it's nice to have like a third angle on the ready if we need it or something.
Oh,
like
exactly.
That.
In introducing our cats, Moody, the origin of Moody's name came up, which is Harry Potter, because Moody has a fucked up eye. So it's Mad-Eye Moody. And so we started talking about, oh, I know how this came up. As part of a checking levels thing, we always ask our guests what their favorite color was, and Elena's was purple. And we got into Harry Potter from there, and we just started talking about like the kind of just like the personalities of each color. And I'm looking at your website, and there's a lot of color, a lot of really bold colors against a beige background. And like Jonathan is sitting here in like a mustard yellow shirt, you're sitting here in like a really nice like olivey green. What does color, you know, how, I guess, like, I don't know, I guess, like, what does it mean to you? Like, I know that there's a tendency in fashion to go like kind of one color palette, but you guys have kind of fought against that.
We do and we don't. Like the last the collection we launched with in the fall was very black.
Mm-hmm.
It was very dark.
But we had a couple staple pieces that were
very pop,
very
which also
pop,
happened to
yeah.
sell out almost immediately.
Yeah.
And then we, this current collection is very, like, neutral, soft. Tan. But again, it's, like, the site, again, is very, like, if you see the site, the bones of it is black and white. It is very simple. But it's, again, it's because it's to show off the color. It's yeah. to show off, I mean, color means so many things. Like, even when you say, like, I mean, like, when people say, like, oh, I don't care about fashion, like, everything you are wearing right now, listening to this, says so much about you. Mm-hmm. And I think for us, we want the clothes to stand out more than anything. We want, when we're doing shoots, we want the surroundings, we want the life to come across, you know? And that's why, like, one of my favorite pages on the site is the Insta Shop. So if you go there, all of our Instagram photos are queued in there, and they're all tagged with products from the site. So you're able to open, click on an image, and it'll blow up a little bit larger, and all the products that are tagged are right there. You could pick your size and go straight to the cart, and you don't have to go anywhere else. And again, the black and the white around it is just so that those stand out. It's so that our slides stand out. It's so that the lookbooks, the shoots, our models, their feelings, it needs to all be conveyed and expressed. And within the 3-minute visit that you're making to the site.
Yeah.
Right? So as long as everything can be clean and simple, all of that comes across. And it's great that it is coming across to you, because that means we're doing what we need to do.
Right. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm really interested in something that I just kind of thought about, is that because you guys are so site-driven as a business, I guess I'll say, which is something that I'm realizing is a really close comparison to what we do. We're a magazine, but we don't have a print version. We don't, and I would think the equivalent of that is like that you guys don't have like an actual shop, sure. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And I think that there's something to be said about that as far as like people making art right now. I mean, I think part of it is with the access of the rise of the internet. The rise is maybe the right word. But also, it's just so many people are more willing to kind of go into these long-term projects in a very low budget kind of way. And I'm curious for you guys, are you happy with kind of the way, I don't mean to say like this, like, oh, would you get a store tomorrow if you would? I'm more thinking like 10 years from now, do you picture this like hopefully having like a storefront and like all that kind of that whole, not that you would have to, you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, right? Sure. Yeah.
Definitely, I think we love 10 being online. Years from now.
Yeah.
I think right now we're focused on the online.
Right.
Sorry.
And we like that, you know, because, yeah. I mean, we're very much a fashion tech brand.
Right.
Right. And I think that afterthought, I mean, I think it's coming across to you now as we, you know, talk about it, but that's not coming across, right? But that's also great because that's seamless tech, right?
Right. Like,
that's something that you're not even thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but we love being online because it allows us to do the collaborations that we love to do. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. we're allowed to showcase the work that we want to showcase. It allows us to work with students that we want to work with and, you know, mm-hmm. showcase their work. And by being online and being open 24/7 and being everywhere, anywhere, I think says a lot about our accessibility, the accessibility of the brand, and like what that means, right? Just going back to that further topic when you were talking about, you know, when people come in and they come out, like, we're always there. Like, it's just online, right? And we want people to come to 18th and Wood, right?
Right.
Yeah.
In that sentence is so packed too, right? We want them to come to the site. We want them to come to Pilsen. We want them to experience all of that. In whatever way is most natural and easy for you. But we would love a store.
Down the line.
Yeah, definitely. That'd be great. Right. And that's something that we do talk about. But yeah, online is exactly where we want to be right now.
Yeah, and I think it's, I guess the, and you kind of answered what the question I was going for. And I realized as I was like, that's the question I meant to ask.
I heard you.
Thank you. Well, because I think it's interesting and almost beautiful that,
It's trash.
That, you know, I think if people were making these kinds of projects like 30 years ago, the need for like a true storefront or like a printing press for actual magazines would be, it'd be more and you'd have to face that. Yep. But I think that because we are in a world where we don't have to, the kind of work that you're able to do in that is so much more different. And I almost so much, anyway, it,
and it gives, I think, us more freedom.
Exactly. Yeah. And, I think that's really powerful. And in that, you know, I think that then having the push to do, like, if you, when you set up a pop-up, then having that as your push to maybe make a new collection or however it is. So actually that leads to my next question really well. So how often do you guys do these kinds of pop-up selling events? Yeah. Like, yeah. Shops, sorry. That's the word I was looking for.
Whenever we really want. Yeah. And again, that's the beauty of it, right?
Right.
That's that
right.
freedom. So we had that first one when we first launched. We have one coming up in 3 weeks at the same space. It just felt right there.
Yeah.
It's good vibes all the way around. So that's how we're starting our summer series.
We've also participated in local pop-ups. So it wasn't necessarily our pop-up, but we participated as a vendor
right.
there. And we did one in December on the north side, actually.
Not too far from here.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, it was at Asia on Argyle.
Yes.
I remember Brendan couldn't come to our place for dinner that night.
He was making
Brendan.
Moves. Yeah. We should have fed you. But yeah, I mean, it's just, we're allowed to be able to wear wherever we want, whenever we want. We try to be as data-driven as possible, too. I mean, again, because we have access to that information. But we also just want to make sure that we're having it in different spaces, but also keeping it very much central to Pilsen. And I think, you know, while we do other events with other groups and vendors, we love our own the most. It gives us a freedom and
control,
the chance and the control to be us. And that absolutely comes across when you're there.
And now that it's about to be summer, we're going to be
doing
more.
Yeah.
Are you guys summer people?
I am. I absolutely am.
Yeah. Towards the end of winter, I'm definitely a summer person.
Yeah. I will say, I love me some winter.
Yeah.
Like some good winter vibes.
I'm the same way.
The thing I love about summer in Chicago, though, and I think that's why we want to do a lot of pop-ups this summer, is people are finally outside.
Yeah.
Like,
I hate feeling confined to my home and feeling trapped. And it's like, when else are you going to be able to see Pilsen if not being able to be there and go there? And this weather just allows for that to happen, you know? So,
Well, I think that's really interesting to me. I think that, I'll feel like the fashion I've noticed in the past 10 or 15 years is kind of moving towards more comfort, if that even makes sense. Like,
athleisure.
Right. And I wonder, if that's, and I think it's really tied into people, because here's the thing, reason why I like the winter, and I don't know where I'm going with this, but stick with me. What I love about the winter is that it's so easy to be comfortable. Like it's really hard to like feel overdressed or overwarm. And I think that's really interesting that fashion is really like weirdly tackling like, okay, how are we going to be comfortable outside in the warmth, you know? And I think that I also think it's really interesting going back to the gender androgyny thing, is I feel like it's been hard for women to be comfortable outside in the heat for a really long time.
Yeah.
Is that a weird thought?
Well, I guess you mean we need to try on the 18th and Wood Throop Top, available on our website.
Exactly. And that's what's so cool about like athleisure wear, especially when it enters into this like gender neutral space, is because it is extremely comfortable. And that's a weird thought, but I think it's really cool when you think about it.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, at like myself personally, I've been leaning more toward like the romper, the world of rompers and like jumpsuits and stuff, and which is totally like streetwear, athleisure, and it's like the most comfortable fucking thing I've ever put on my body.
And you should be comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're living your life in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But also look great.
Yeah.
Exactly. How do you guys feel like, does that kind of balance of like comfort versus looking great come into mind, or do you just like fucking nail it every time?
I don't know.
I don't think we've, more so just if we're drawn to the garment.
Yeah.
Like the style.
Yeah.
And that's where we go. But I mean, we also do want versatility, you know? I mean, a lot of our pieces are very easy, you know? And it's very conscious when we come down to the models, even the styling, right? We very minimal makeup, if any, you know, because it's, you see these shoots and these lookbooks of these people wearing these clothes and
glam,
it's so
makeup,
it's
yeah.
so ridiculous. And it's like, okay, and the reason why we want to pick people that are relatable and just like real natural beauty is calling you guys out, is because you can see yourself in that. It's not an unrealistic standard, you know, and it's especially when it's the unisex items too, because it's like, I literally can see myself, because it's me or it's not. And we have like multiple images that showcase that, but it's, we want that.
Right.
You
know? Yep. It's authentic. It's things that you would actually wear.
Yeah. We would never sell anything we wouldn't wear ourselves.
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Right.
No. I'm wondering how you guys got your start in fashion.
I've always worked retail, like since I was 16. And I got a job when I was working at the Steppenwolf Theater doing like an unpaid internship, and I got a job at a store at a local Chicago company. I got really close with them, and I kind of segued into an internship with French Connection in New York. So I spent a summer there, and all this time I was trying to figure out like what it is I want to do and how can I make this feasible. And when I was actually at Pomona College. I got a grant to fund a business. So I was able to create, at the time it was called Shop Starzik. I was just like all men's vintage. But one of the things I learned was half my customers were women. I was alienating that base. But also doing only vintage is not very sustainable, because when you take a picture of something once and it sells, it's done, right? You spent all that time getting it right on the model, editing it, but also like, it's not like you can like if I'm modeling this shirt, right? I have multiple sizes in this. I could just use the picture of me in it and I could sell all of those sizes, but you can't do that with vintage, right? Because it's all different.
Yeah.
And so after that closed, I just decided to close it down. I think it was just like, it was difficult for me to part with it. But at the same time, I think Elena was trying to figure out like what she wanted to do in fashion. And
yeah, I mean, I've always had an interest in fashion, but this was really my first like
foray into it.
And I was just, I've always considered myself a creative person, but I was stuck in that corporate life. And
fuck that shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I quit my job last month because it was just too much for me. So, I just always thought of myself as being in a creative field. And so when I came to Jonathan, he had a different idea before we started this. We were going to do like a magazine. And so I was like, oh, well, I'll help you with that. But then eventually kind of just evolved into, why don't we do a brand?
Because even before that too, we were both like, oh, we'll both do separate things.
Yeah.
And then we would be like, that's stupid. We should do this together.
Yeah.
And it's been great ever since. Yeah. Yeah.
So then do you both design clothes or do you do the sewing yourselves?
It's very collaborative.
Cool. It is. Yeah. We make a lot of the decisions together, especially about our collection, since that's, you know, that's us. Yeah. That's the brand.
Yeah.
We always pick the collection together, and design our logo wear together.
Everything needs to go ahead from both of us though. Yeah. Basically we would never want to like make the other uncomfortable by pushing forward an idea, a design, a style that we both didn't feel comfortable with. Because again, it's both of us. You know, it's definitely an extension of us, and I can't sell something I don't like.
Right.
No.
And we wouldn't want to.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We actually struggle with not taking everything for ourselves.
Yeah. We have to limit ourselves.
Yeah.
No, that was something, like, whenever, I keep mentioning Brendan, but he's our connection to you, so to hell with it. Whenever I see him and, it's after a shoot with you guys, he's always saying, like, man, actually, he came from the shoot where he wore the crop top to my car to go to my family's Easter.
Oh, Easter party.
Yeah.
You were texting him a lot that day.
And, he got in the car and I was like, hey man, what's up? And he was like, I just got done with an 18th and Wood shoot and I had this crop top on and fuck, I wanted it. I'm like,
he's like, I'm gonna cut off all my shirts now.
Yeah.
And he should. He rocks it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like he was telling me about it and I was like, yeah, cut off sweater. And then I saw it and I was like, damn, cut off sweater.
It's my favorite sweater. Yeah, I wear it all the time. My dad's all like, oh, did the dog bite off the rest of it? Blah, 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 blah. But dads.
Am I right?
Cool. What a really good question. I forgot it already.
That's the worst.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah.
If I can just go back to something, too.
Yeah, I mean, of course.
When you're talking about just, like, how did we come to this, I think we both just wanted to do something creative.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
I mean, I definitely own a lot more of the marketing and the e-commerce, and Elena very much owns, you know, working with, like, all of our vendors, all the merchandising, a lot of the design styling, work, all the socials, very much Elena.
But I also sew too, so we're doing reworked vintage as well. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to get more products out that have been reworked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you guys mind telling us a little bit more? Maybe if it's generally, because it's probably very detailed, but just kind of like the process, like how things go from design to kind of like manufacturing to, like, basically from, how do you get from concept to sold item?
How much time do you guys got?
Yeah.
I guess we can make it simple. I mean, we both just kind of have an idea or a feeling of, like, what we want the whole collection to feel. I mean,
yeah.
We totally do the whole mood board thing. Yeah. We just need to get it down. I mean, it's funny because we're e-commerce, right? We're all online, but we value the print, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think just from there, we just figure out, like, we definitely look at trend reports. I mean, we're not trend driven,
mm-hmm.
But we're trend mindful.
Aware.
Yeah. I mean, because you want to make sure our stuff is relevant.
Yeah.
And that it's commercially viable.
Yeah, you're not creating in a vacuum.
Yeah. That's what we talk about. And again, our customers tell us what they want, you know, because, like, now we've been around for a few months, and it's funny because we've only been around for a few months, but
it,
like, our audience,
like, forever.
Yeah, I feel like our audience really responds to us, works with us, talks to us, they tell us what they like, they tell us what we know what they don't like, you know, and so being able to, you know, think about that, especially now that we're creating even more, is even more valuable and important.
Yeah, but there's not really, like, one pathway. It's more so, like Jonathan said, we think of a concept or an idea or a feel for our next collection. And then from there, we just find pieces where we can. So we have vintage pieces. We go to different stores everywhere, pretty much.
Estate sales, Salvation Army's, the whole nine. And
find unique pieces. And we have a ton of vintage, but we only post the ones that
supplement the actual collection.
Right.
We want them because we use a lot of the vintage, right? I mean, just as, like, accessories or something in a lookbook, right? And we're like, why don't we just curate it around? So we definitely sell more vintage at our pop-ups, and you'll find a lot of that there. But the stuff that's on the site is always going to complement what you see in the shoots, and in the lookbooks and in the collection. Like, it all works together. It's very thought out and very formulaic in that sense. So that's probably where most of the thought goes into it, right? Is, like, how can these blend to work well? And some of the vintage we don't touch is just on its own. But we've been reworking a lot of vintage, you know, recently. I mean, after we posted a photo of this one reworked bodysuit within,
like,
15
minutes.
Yeah, and that was great, you know? And that's our customer telling us that this is what they like.
Yeah.
You know, and just being mindful of having that conversation. I guess that's just the most amazing part about social. I mean, I can be pretty critical about social media and I feel like what we do with it, but that's the example of, you know, it being completely utilized.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys have favorite thrift stores?
What's that one in Indiana that I love?
I think it's just a Village.
It's a Village Discount Village Outlet.
Those are great.
It's all the way in Hammond or something.
Indiana. Or Gary.
Something like that. Isn't Indiana just, like, all the same?
Yeah.
Sorry, Indiana listeners. But it's, I mean, we go everywhere and we're there for hours.
I was just in Alabama. I stopped in one and found some really cool pieces.
It's very true. It's very tiring. I mean, you would think it's not because you're just, like, sifting through things, but we want to make sure that we're showcasing and selling, you know, really quality pieces that are, again, unique and, you know, go off of the collection too, which is super important.
No, I'm always shocked. So there's a Village Discount Outlet probably right around the corner from here. And anytime that I have, so what terrible thing about being a classical singer, you have to, like, wear suits and shit a lot. Mm-hmm. I love going to Village Discount Outlet because you can always get, like, a 3-piece suit for, like, $10. I'm so there for that.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. It's so good. Cool.
I've got one last question. As artists working in Pilsen, who, you know, you all really work to incorporate the community and incorporate the culture. What if you were talking to an artist looking to involve themselves in Pilsen, what would be your advice to them? Like, how could they go about engaging the community?
Be real. Be authentic. I feel like we're very clear and upfront about exactly what we're doing. No details are left unmentioned.
I think another great thing about Pilsen is that you can easily make connections.
Super easy.
Yeah, so you can even just walk around the block and go to an art gallery. You might find the owner there. Mm-hmm. And that's a connection right there. And they might lead you to other people. So it's actually, Pilsen is pretty small. Like, you'll see people around and you'll get to meet people. And I think that's really important. Like, we've been making sure to reach out to people and make different connections where we can. So
utilize our friends more than anything, you know, just incorporating the space and the art and the people.
Do you feel like there's a unique aspect of that in Pilsen in Chicago compared to, like, you know, New York or California or, you know?
I feel Chicago is a super big, small city.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For example, on the drive over, I saw my friend from high school, Veronica.
On Lakeshore Drive.
Quickly mooned her. Yeah. And continue on over here.
He did. I totally did.
That was awesome. But it's just like, of course, I would randomly see that person driving in a car next to me. Did you do that too?
No, that's the move. So actually, over Thanksgiving, was it?
I think it was Christmas.
We were driving in the car, and I don't remember why.
So
I think Brendan, like, flicked me off.
So it was me, Daniel, my mom, and then my brother, his wife, Brendan, and his sister Maddie. So the three, us two and my mom, were in the other car. Everybody else is in the other. We pulled up next to each other at a red light.
Brendan flicked us off, and I got up and mooned him.
Hell yeah.
And not only did he moon him, but he pressed his ass right against the window.
Perfect. That's what you gotta do. If you're gonna do it,
you gotta get a little imprint.
Right.
He stuck his ass out the window.
Good so for I think, you. I think I went a little above and
beyond.
Yeah.
You got a little, there was like a splash zone. Like,
a splash zone.
Yeah. Cool.
More people should moon each other.
No, yeah. Go ahead.
Me and Elena, like, I went to Jones, she went to Peyton, and I feel like a lot of those schools just bring in people from all over the city.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things I loved about Jones particularly, was because I would be on any train and I would see someone I knew. That still happens all the time, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I went to high school with you.
And that's just the beauty of it, right? Because everyone is so connected. And again, I just bring up, I guess, social again, right? That's when it's so clear and apparent how you are connected. You know, mm-hmm. how do you know this person and these people and these places and these things? And it's just like, it all just kind of comes together there. And I think it's just, I mean, it's great too. And that's kind of the beautiful thing, is because that's where we started. You know, it's where it all began for the both of us. Yeah. And I mean, we hope it always will be a big part of, you know, who we are and what we do.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, the last thing we do with the guests every episode is a minute plug for anything you have upcoming. You can also talk about any shows that you like, books that you've read.
People doing super rad art that you just like think deserve some on-air love.
Yeah. So, and especially for upcoming events, this is a great time for like all of the very specific details.
Yeah. Cool. Well, plug our friends first. Yvette Mayorga, she is an amazing artist. If you do not follow her on Instagram, please do. She just has some of the coolest shit you've seen. It's very
talks about social issues. While being funky.
Yeah, and it's all very much relatable. I think I already plugged Will Goff earlier, who is an amazing graphic artist. And, you know, really for us, you know, please come. I mean, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, on Twitter, at 18th even. And Wood, 18th Andy Wood. And, you know, please come to our pop-up on May 12th, which is a Friday. We will have a wine and beer happy hour.
From 5 to 10.
I will have Yvette.
At Calibri. Yvette.
I will have our friend Livier doing manicures again.
We'll have cupcakes.
And wine. It's just a really great time. I mean, it really is. And I feel like once you're there, you get what it all is. And that's the beauty of those events for us. And we will have another one that we just scheduled on June 24th at El Mesquite, which is our favorite taco place.
Around the, it's on 18th and Wood, actually.
Nice. So we'll be popping up in their courtyard there, and there'll be more details for that to come. But follow us, engage with us, talk to us. And we've also created a coupon code for all of your listeners. So that is SCOPY20 for 20% off.
All caps.
All caps. It is case sensitive. For the entire month of May.
Cool.
That's so awesome. Thank you so much for doing that.
Thank
you for having us.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you so much. Well, thank you all so much for listening. I've been Daniel Johansson.
I continue to be Maureen Smith.
If you want to keep up with us, there are plenty of ways to do that. You can head over to scopymag.com. Over the next 24 hours, there will be a new article up, which is super exciting. It's been a couple weeks, but we're excited. I wrote a piece on collectivism in art with a parallel to the political movement. So that's super fun. Then we are on Instagram and Twitter at Scopy Mag. Also Facebook, Scopy Magazine. You can see a picture of our cat most recently.
Oh my God, she's so cute. And she as always, so I know.
She's a good cat.
And as always, I'm here to emphasize the importance of donations. We run on a shoestring budget. As you heard on our last episode, we are launching a performance series this summer. And we can't fund that ourselves because I work at a cafe and Daniel is a research assistant. So we, you know, we need your help. If you head to our website, scopymag.com, go to our about section. You can donate as little as $5 a month. The incentive for becoming a monthly subscriber is that there will be some shows here at our apartment that only monthly subscribers will have access to because we have a small apartment. Mm-hmm. So, but we will pack it to the gills if we have a lot of monthly subscribers. Mm-hmm. I don't give a shit. Yep. So,
and as also like, according to our personal goals, we're going to record and potentially maybe stream those performances so that anyone that's at
right.
home can
I mean,
see them.
It's not like you won't have access to them, mm-hmm. but you'll and get we'll, to like be here and pet our cats and eat hummus and stuff like that. Yep, so,
I love cats.
Perfect.
Head to Scopy Mag. As little as $5 a month. It's really worth it, and it means the world to us. Give a little, give a lot, and if you can't give, then listen, participate, and share.
Thanks again for listening. Go out and make something.
Yep.